This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, let us become that which you have called us to be and to do, not only for others, but also for ourselves, who are sinners in the light of your countenance. Let us be reminded of your guidance and direction to become shepherds responsible for the care and feeding of your flock, not just for now, but for generations to come, as we are not only the shepherds by night and by day, but the stewards of your power of faith, hope, and charity, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. My friend Archdeacon Brian Hobbs sent this prayer to me. It was written by Bob Moore, our parishioner whose funeral we celebrated yesterday. And it certainly captures the theme of this gospel of Jesus' first miracle. Those of you who know priests or know the process of writing sermons probably would understand that the last thing you do is to find the illustrations that are going to help you to amplify your message, and that's the way it goes. And I just could not find the right particular illustration. Even last night at the 5 o'clock, it just didn't fly. And so I got up this morning early, and I was praying, God, just give me that, enlighten me with the illustration that I need. Well, be careful what you pray for. So here's the story. There aren't many things that I sort of cherish that in my normal routine I just need to have. Well, one of those is going to the gym because of the needs I have to make sure my back is stretched out to get through a Sunday morning at church. And so every Sunday morning at 4 o'clock, I go to the gym, I do my exercises, and then I go and I sit in the steam room at 24-Hour Fitness, and I have an app on my phone that plays the morning prayer from the St. Clair website, which is great. I do my morning prayer in the steam room. So there I am in the steam room, and all of a sudden, there's this explosion, and the fire alarm goes off. And with that, a recorded message, evacuate the building immediately. Now, those of you who were here on Christmas Eve know that I didn't exactly make friends with the Boynton Beach Fire Department at the 4 o'clock service, so I thought I better do exactly, I don't want to get in trouble. So there I am in my gym shorts and a towel, standing outside the strip mall at the 24-Hour Fitness. All of the other people who were working out at that early morning had enough sense to go and collect the things out of their locker before they evacuated the building. So they all just left. And there I am outside with the fire department all there and the police not allowing me to go back in, standing out there in the parking lot in a swimming suit and a towel at 5 o'clock in the morning. Luckily, one of the employees who's there was allowed to stay in the building because he had to show the firemen where all the rooms were, where this had happened. It was a boiler that blew up, by the way. There was no fire. He sees me, and I'm pleading with him. And I said, I'll give you my combination. Would you go in my locker and get my stuff so I can get to church? Which he did. Thank you. And I must tell you that the newly converted sexton's house that now is the vestry house has a very nice shower. And I said thank you to the senior warden at the early service for that. So those things that are not in the surface level, very important, but they can be very special to us when they are taken away, can be incredibly disappointing. This is what's going on in the gospel today. Now, Cana, it was not exactly a wedding destination of choice. You would not go to Cana by choice. It was a hillbilly town. There wasn't much that those peasant people of Cana had to look forward to. But in their culture at that time, a wedding was something they really looked forward to because it was the one time when they were going to be able to party up a storm. It went on for 3 days. And there would be nothing more upsetting, more than being out in a parking lot in your swimming suit at 5 a.m, than hearing that they ran out of wine. Here we've got not much forward to look forward to in our lives, and there's no wine. Now, why do I bring this up? Well, it is important for us from the get-go to understand that Jesus chooses to do his first miracle not for recognition with the crowds by any means. I mean, let's face it, if you wanted to get a lot of the ta-da, you'd go out to a Las Vegas hotel on a big stage and do a big performance with it. But he's in a hillbilly little town when he does this. It's important for us for a couple reasons that I'm going to bring out today. There's a couple of miracles that are taking place here. Let's talk about the first one. Now, remember on Christmas we talked about how there is this sort of juxtaposition, this comparison between Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1. John chapter 1, that prologue, in the beginning was the Word. He's doing this direct comparison between the creation story and the Jesus being there for all eternity. Well, it's more subtle, but there's this continuation of that sort of comparison as we go forward in both Genesis and John's Gospel. Because we know what the next story in John's Gospel is, or in Genesis. We have this creation story followed by the entrance of Satan, the serpent. Comes to Adam and Eve, and he twists their minds. He convinces them that this God is not looking out for your best interest, that this God is here and wants to exploit you. This God wants to abuse you, and this God doesn't want you to eat from that tree of life because then you will have what God has, and God doesn't want that. And they buy it. And fear ends up entering the world as a result. So what does God do? So now God has to put into salvation history this whole succession of things to help humankind to understand that that is not the essence of God. That God is nothing but a God of love, mercy, and compassion. And so starting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and going forward, all of these people are trying to teach them the true essence of God. And finally, here comes Jesus. And Jesus is going to be the ultimate revelation of what God is about. So, water into wine. A first miracle of compassion. Now, we might think that miracles aren't possible, but even St. Augustine back in the 3rd century talks about this and says, why do we think that this is so impossible? It is just God doing more quickly that which God already does more deliberately. And he uses the example. You want to talk about water into wine? Okay. The rain falls, water, on the ground. Plants grow. Grapes are harvested. Grapes are fermented. Presto, there's your wine. Water into wine. It is just God doing more quickly that which God already does deliberately. But that's not the only miracle that's going on here. There is a miracle that is going on in Jesus. Just as we hear in the other Gospels about Jesus increasing in wisdom and stature and the eyes of God and all, there is a transformation that happens here with him. Because of his mother. Because his mother says to him, they have no wine. She sees in Jesus what the opportunity is and the call and the ability that he has. Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? Now, the word he uses for woman, I mean, if you look at that, just face value in English, it seems like he's being sort of derogatory, standoffish to his mom. But the word for woman is the same word that is used when he's dying on the cross and he looks down and he says, "Woman, here is your son." Remember that? Very endearing. That's the word he's using. It's the same word scripture scholars tell us that Antony used to talk about his beloved Cleopatra. An endearing term. There is something of love going on here. And it becomes a transition point for Jesus, for him to start to understand what his abilities and what his ministry is about. You know, that gospel began with the third day. I always want to think, well, then what was the first and the second day? Well, the first day was Philip and Nathanael being called as his disciples. The second day is Peter and Andrew being called as his disciples. And here we are on the third day. And so they go to the wedding. What it becomes for Jesus, I think, is this renewed transformation and understanding that his mission was especially to go to those who were disadvantaged and needed help, to the hillbilly town who didn't have wine for their wedding. And now what's going to happen after this? His healings, his ministry, everything that he does in this book of signs in John's gospel are continuing to show us that this perverted idea of who this God is wrong, that our God is nothing but love and compassion, especially for those who are the most disadvantaged people in the world. The woman touches him who has the hemorrhages for so long. The woman at the well who was ostracized from society. The blind man sitting at the well forever waiting for somebody to help. Over and over again. A transformation, a miracle happens in Jesus. But perhaps there's a third miracle that is meant to happen here today. And maybe it's the miracle of how we are called to enter into this modern day story and become the miracles for each other. And I want to give two illustrations that for me bring this out, and they're both about wine. So I hope you like wine. So I told this story some time ago on Thanksgiving. But some time ago, somebody gave me an incredibly expensive bottle of red wine. At the time, it was like worth $150. I can't imagine what it would cost today. But I was lusting to drink this wine. Well, the opportunity for me to drink it came when there were eight people at this party. And being selfish, I thought, I'm not going to get very much of this wine. So I poured my glass up to the brim, to the rim. Now, if you know anything about wine, that is the worst thing to do with a good bottle of wine. Because the whole experience to fully appreciate the wine is to have enough for it to oxygenate, and that aroma just gets better and better with a good bottle of wine. I ruined the whole thing by having it full. Sometimes we need to understand that having our glass half full is the best way we can appreciate the gifts that we have. Did you hear that epistle today? There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. Whatever those gifts are, we need to appreciate them. Second illustration. When I was a newbie priest, and when I was in the Roman Catholic world, I was in a rather well-to-do parish, and you would get invited to these big, mucky-muck social functions. And the first one I went to, I'm sitting at the head table, and they're serving, again, fancy wine. and I'm enjoying it, and every time you take a sip, the waiter comes and he fills your glass back up. Well, I had to get up and use the facility later on, and when I got up, I was woozy. And the person next to me said, "Well, what's wrong?" I said, "I don't know. I feel drunk, but I only had one glass of wine." Now, this was an older priest, and he said to me, "You got to learn." I said, "What?" "You got to learn that you do not let them fill up your glass until it's empty. Because unless you have an empty glass, you will never know how much you have had. You have to appreciate an empty glass in order to know how much you have had." Use that metaphor for our lives. Sometimes we need to let that glass be empty and appreciate it, because only then can we let God fill it up. Now, in the gospel story today, both those things are happening. And it is Mary, Jesus' mother, who is doing that for him, to help him to understand, you don't think these people deserve this? You don't think they need this? You don't think perhaps you can do this? You don't think this is your call? And look what happens as a result. The party resumes. Jesus' ministry blossoms. And so many people benefit as a result. So think about the people in your own life, in your past, in your present, who have been that Mary to you, who have called you to use the gifts that God has given to you. And think about how you might be called to be an encourager unto others, to share their gifts. There's plenty of wine to go around. Amen.